Welcome to the Touring Car America Podcast. This is where touring car racing comes to life. You'll get in-depth interviews with drivers, series officials, auto manufacturer reps, and unique personalities through SRO, America's Touring Car Division. This is the Touring Car America Podcast, and this is Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America Podcast 10 Questions, and I'm here with Chandler Hall. Chandler, you drive the car number 94, is that correct, in touring car?
Yes, I do. The number 94 BMW M240iR with Copart Bimmer World Racing.
Excellent. Well, we're going to jump into the questions. Question number one, what was the first car you ever owned?
Well, that's a funny story. I've technically never really had a first car. My family had a couple cars when I finally got my driver's license, and most of the time I drive my mom's Escalade, but we always joke that it's bigger than a bus, so it wasn't my favorite car to drive, and sometimes when I caught my dad in a good mood, I'd ask him to drive his SL Mercedes.
I got you.
That had quite a bit of horsepower, so that may have been the first step into really liking cars and speed. And then later on, that turned into a Cayman, which is what I used to first start my track days and where I really caught the bug to go racing.
Gotcha. I always ask that question because most of the time people get hand-me-downs like the Escalade, so I can see that. Question number two. What did you want to be when you were growing up? Like when you were a kid, what did you want to be?
Well, I think like a lot of kids, I wanted to be a policeman. Uh-huh. Obviously, that was never pursued. But ironically, once I got my driver's license, I started seeing a lot of them, especially with their lights on behind me in the car. I think I got 12 tickets in 5 years.
Wow.
So I probably should have become a lawyer to help me get out of this.
Wow, yeah, 12 is a lot. That even breaks my record. So that's a new high mark for tickets when you're first starting to drive. So. I don't know if that's something to be proud of or not, but it's definitely something to talk about.
Definitely.
Question three is, do you have brothers and sisters? And if yes, how many and where are you in the mix?
I have two brothers and one sister. I'm the oldest. I think it was brother, sister, brother.
Okay.
And they kind of all do their own thing. Never really understood my whole passion for cars and racing until I actually started. And now they come to the track and they get really into it. And my actually, he's a little bit fearless and impatient, but he's got a natural talent for driving too. So hopefully, we'll get him into a car soon.
That's cool. Yeah. So they really didn't have much interest, couldn't understand it until they actually participated and saw what it was about, which is a pretty familiar story for someone, a family that hasn't gone racing before.
Yeah. My dad did some motocross when he was younger and excelled at it. But other than that, nobody in my family really ever got a racing bug or a car bug for that matter. So it was kind of weird. My sister just thought we were driving around in circles until she showed up to the first event at COTA this year and was really surprised.
Yeah, her exposure was probably just NASCAR ovals, right? So that's what she was associating it with, which I can understand totally. All right, question number four. What's your go-to order at your favorite restaurant?
It's probably sushi. Definitely a big sushi guy. I actually used to live in Mexico, so having the ocean right there and all the fresh fish that you could ever imagine, that kind of probably started that liking.
Where in Mexico did you live?
We spent some time down in Cabo for a couple years.
Yep, I love Mexico. I love Baja. I am a big Baja 1500, San Felipe 250 fan, so I spend a ton of time in Baja and love it down there as well.
That's what my youngest brother wants to get into. He likes the dirt racing.
Yeah, it's a good time. Question number five. What do you wish you knew when you started racing that you know now?
Well, given that it's just such a brief period, I'm still less than 2 years, I'm just amazed at how many small details there are. I never would have thought that what gear you're in, what line you take. I mean, if you're an inch or two off, it could spell disaster at some places. And then just kind of like car setup, camber, brake pad, ride height, everything like that. There's a science and an art to it. And so I'm still playing catch up and trying to accelerate my learning curve, being a sponge. So I've enjoyed it, but there's a lot of little details that I never knew existed.
Gotcha. Question number six. What's something that you failed at?
Probably following the speed limit, as evidenced to the mountain of speeding tickets I have in my file cabinet.
Right.
Other than that, maybe picking the right girlfriend, but it's a whole other story for another time.
That sounds like a hilarious story. So we'll get some tequila from Mexico that I have, and we'll give that a shot at some point. Question number seven. If you could choose walk-up music like in baseball, what song would you pick for your walk-up music?
That's a hard one. I like all types of music, so I don't know if I can narrow anything down, but definitely 70s and 80s classic rock is kind of my go-to when I can't think of anything. I grew up listening to it because my dad loved it. You know, stuff like Queen especially. Those really get me going before a race.
So like We Will Rock You or something like that would be your walk-up music?
Okay. Yeah. Another One Bites the Dust too. That's a good one.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Very good. Question number eight. What do you do on a normal non-race weekend?
More racing stuff. Because I only started last year, really. I kind of spend every extra moment just soaking it all in like a sponge. I spend a lot of time on the simulator, watching other races from other series around the world, just trying to have a keen eye at everything and try to pick up some pointers here and there.
Cool. So you're just totally immersed. You're doing everything you can to try to get back up to, well, not back up to speed, but to get up to the higher levels as quickly as possible. I get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Question number nine. What's your favorite book?
Probably The Life of Senna. It's just really interesting to see the behind-the-scenes part of one of the greatest racing drivers ever. So I really enjoy that one, and I'm not much of a reader. So,
okay. Question number 10. When you're alone in your car, do you sing along with the music?
Absolutely not. No. I have no musical talent. I love music, but my talent there is severely lacking, as evidence of my try at middle school band. So haven't really taken it further than that.
So like, are you tone deaf? Is it like tone deaf karaoke or what?
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair assessment of it.
Oh, man. Okay, so when you're telling me about your problems with women, I'm going to we'll have that tequila, and we'll definitely have to do some tone-deaf karaoke. That'll be hilarious. So.
It may take a lot.
All right, Chandler, really appreciate you being on the TC America Podcast 10 Questions. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is a TC America podcast, and we're going inside the series with the director of TC America, Jim Jordan. Jim, you are down there at Homestead for everyone's favorite BOP test. How's it going down there?
It's going good. It's a hot day, so we're putting brakes and cooling system to the test, but so far so good, but a couple new cars and making sure that the new cars don't upset the balance that we have achieved in the class. So that's kind of the whole deal. And what just from
I do think they'd find it interesting. I'd like to learn too. Let's talk about it.
And then we send the car back out with our driver in it, so it's a unbiased driver, And he goes and he drives the car and comes back. We look at the lap times. He'll tell us how the car felt differently in the rest. And we do that for ride height. We do that for weight. And we do that for power. And those are the variables. You can make cars have the same lap time, but they'll always achieve that lap time in different ways. So with things like ride height, weight, and power, you can make it that's not only that the lap times are similar, but they're the way they produce lap times is as close as you can make it, which makes the racing good. You're never going to take away totally a car's strength, and you're never going to be able to mask its disadvantages completely. But by changing weight, by changing ride height and power, you can end up with two cars that race together really well. And so that's what we're going through today and tomorrow. That's kind of the exercise we're going through. And it's fun and interesting just to see what those changes, those little minor changes of specification make.
Yeah. And, I personally like the BOP formula. I know a lot of people hate it, but I like as a competitor, if I was a competitor, knowing that I'm going to have a shot no matter where I go. Now, some tracks favor different cars, but that's like that in any, without BOP or with BOP, it's one of those things. So it can be frustrating and it's an easy crutch for people to use, but I'm really glad that we do it. And I think overall we do it very well. Are they perfect? Heck no, but they definitely go through the exercise of getting as much data as they can so they can make the best judgment they can and try to make the racing as even as possible.
So again, it's been a good experience today, and had a conversation with our reference driver, and I'll leave his name out just to protect the innocent.
And we'll call him the TC America Stig.
He just said it is interesting that all three cars, their characteristics are just significantly different. So it was definitely just good and interesting to hear.
Yeah, the driver who did it last year, who I know very well, he said the same thing. He was shocked in jumping in the different cars and how the nature of each car, like each car has its own personality and yep. Does some things well and does others not as well. So it is very interesting to watch him put it all together.
Yep, agreed. So again, it's been a, just kind of a good experience to see how it all turns out, works out.
So we're 2 weeks and 1 day from load-in, I think, right? Into maybe load-in's today. It might be 2 weeks. I can't remember if it's Wednesday or Thursday, but at COTA. But yeah, we're getting pretty close to starting the new year.
Yep. No, that's absolutely true. We're 2 weeks away from today. I will already have been in Texas because I'm arriving Monday night. And you get down to put up or shut up time.
And I know that there is a car down there that hasn't run in the series before, but has been testing. And how's that been going?
The actual cars that haven't run with us before, the Hyundai TC car, the Honda TC car, and the Hyundai TCA car, the ones that we're trying to find a balance of performance. Rice's very second, the fastest TC car, we're running a different course than we ran this morning. Jeffrey's Hyundai is currently the quickest TC car out there. I will say that's with Jeff driving. The Honda TC car has a reference driver in it right now, and he's about 9 tenths slower. So, and I do know that Reek has got he's got two ECU configurations, and he's currently running his, what he calls, high horsepower configuration. So, that's interesting to see. And again, we'll put our reference driver in that car later today, at least that's the plan. So, we get see where with the reference driver where they stand, and then with TCA this morning, but I would say all the cars were within the window. Reference driver didn't. I drove all three cars, but now we're starting to cycle through changes on eight. So Again, it's a process. And as I told the disappointment for me is being homestead and not having any team close by, at least teams that have the BMW M240, that we don't have any of them here. And we tried, we just couldn't get any teams to make the trek. So with both the Hyundai and the Honda, we really want to run through a significant number of changes. So if we show up and the cars are either way too fast or way too slow, we know what changes to make to quickly bring the BOP into the window. So, again, I think we have more confidence in the Honda since you saw that car run versus the BMWs and the Nissans at Thermal. But the Hyundai is kind of a, we just don't know yet. But a lot of times, Rika turns in that car were, they're looking pretty darn quick. So kind of exciting.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I'm glad that Jeff's got that car running well. And I know BOP will make it so that it's competitive, or they'll slow it down if it's too competitive. So I'm just glad it's running well. So that's awesome. I know that Team VGMC is there with the TCR car, the TC and the TCA Hondas. So it's good to see those guys there as well. So I'm excited for a couple weeks from now. I am kind of getting into gear, getting ready, getting prepped for my duties as the PA announcer and Sirius XM radio. So I'm just trying to get geared up for that and kind of get that under control. What are the big things you're working on and what you're getting ready for?
Well, I'm spending most of my time right now talking to teams in various ways. There's some that they're coming but haven't entered yet, so I'm making sure they get their entries in. There's some others that have talked about coming, but we have no idea where they are. And then there's just the routine, like make sure they've ordered their tires and their gasoline, because teams need to order those things in advance. So making sure that that's all done, just so when they show up at the racetrack, they can focus on racing, not panicking that they're not going to have enough tires to run. So it's lots of administration things right now. I'm also spending time working on, we're a little late with the rule book, with the sporting regulations, but we made some significant changes with those. So going through those. Also had a long meeting today with John Fergus, who's our new race director. So John and I wanted to talk just about, how we're going to run the races and what his philosophy is and his philosophy on racing and mine are pretty well aligned. We want it to be close competitive racing. We want to have fair racing. We want mutual respect out there, but we also want hard racing and anyone who's seen our TC races know that they race hard out there.
Yeah, and what about my favorite topic? Did you guys cover that at all, Jim? We'll see if you know what my favorite topic is.
No, we did not talk about track limits at all.
Yes, I am a honk for track limits not existing. If it's paved, I think that the touring car should and will use it and shouldn't be penalized for it. So I'm always going to be on my high horse about that. Even if it's never goes my way, I'm still going to whine and complain and preach. I guess preach is the biggest word. So I'm a little disappointed, Jim, a little disappointed. But hey, what can you do? That other stuff sounds good. I think, having a new race director that's closely aligned with the marketing side of the series is actually smart. Not from interpreting who's going to get penalized and those kind of things, but just kind of the general feel of the series. I think it'll go a long way to pushing the series forward. And I think that's really, in all my social media, at least once a week, I talk about the history of the sport. And in social media, I got a little bit of a hard time from someone because they were saying how, oh, that's a speed touring car. That's not a TC America car. So I had to let them know that speed touring car is what TC America is. It's the same series. It's just the evolution of the series. So speed touring cars from the 2000s, have morphed into Pirelli World Challenge, which morphed into TC America. So we have a over 30-year history of running touring cars. And I like to talk about the history of the series and relive some of the great times of the series, because I think we're headed in that direction.
I hope so. We're a lot of people working really hard to continue to build and grow the championship. And what I'll say I like the most about the direction we're working on going is we're trying to keep some sort of price cap, because what tends to happen in motorsports all the time is incrementally the cars get a little bit faster. By incrementally getting faster, it just slowly escalates the cost, so they just totally, they get out of control and fields drop, and certainly, there's some areas we need to improve as a series, but the cars themselves, that was another fun conversation with John Fergus, the race director. He hadn't really looked at one of the TCA cars up closely, and you know, he came back and said, man, the Honda, the Mini, and the Hyundai, those are real race cars. And for the price, he was just shocked at what a good value they are. So, for someone with so much race experience, John's had 10 FCCA national champions. He ran a factory Dodge program in the GTU era of IMSA. So this guy really knows stuff. So when he gave it that blessing, it just made me feel good about the direction we're going.
Yeah. And I think we are headed in the right direction, and I'm excited for it. So, anyway, anything else you want to add for this segment, Jim? I know you're busy, so I don't want to take up too much of your time there in Homestead, but, anything you want to say with 2 weeks to go before the first race of the week, or the first race of the season, I should say?
No, just really happy with the way everything's shaping up. Pleased with, how the BOP test is going, and just hope we see a lot of TC America fans out at our Circuit of the America race coming up the first full weekend of March.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Jim. Thanks again for going inside the series with Director of Touring Car America, Jim Jordan. So thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
Thanks, Joe.
Corksport Performance is your Mazdaholic stop for performance parts. Since 1998, Corksport has been giving love to all the ignored Mazda models which everyone drives. 20 years later, Corksport is a leader in manufacturing a full range of performance parts for the Mazda Speed 3, the Mazda 3, the ND MX-5, and more. We have real people that will take your phone call. None of that email-only BS from online-only stores, or a store being run out of their mom's basement in Detroit by a guy named Chuck. Corksport supports simple bolt-on mods, giving you guidance and advice to build your Mazda Speed 3 to over 600 horsepower and be a terror on the track.
This is where touring car racing comes to life. We're back. We're back to the Touring Car America podcast with Joe Jordan.
This is the TC America podcast. I'm Joe Jordan, and today our interview is with Tomas Mejia, the driver of the Mini Cooper in TCA. He's a 16-year-old gentleman out of Northern California. And Tomas, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So, Tomas, you ran, I think, about the last six or seven races of the year last year and had some really good results. He actually ended up seventh in points, but I think in Vegas you were second, was your highest finishing position, and but you got on the podium I think three times. What was it like coming to the Touring Car America series?
You know, for me, I was doing Spec Miata a lot before, so it was more of like club racing, and then this was kind of like the first step up into a more serious and professional kind of series. So kind of showing up for the first time, and then by the second race being able to the first weekend being able to kind of step up on the podium with some of my teammates was just the best thing on earth, because this was one of like stepping up the ladder and racing and being able to like succeed in them has always been like such a big dream, and then hopefully I can continue that for the next year and for this year and be able to kind of win the championship and or get more podiums.
That's really cool. So, Tomas, let's talk about your life a little bit. I know that you have a Colombian heritage, but you've grown up here in the United States. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So were you born here or were you born in Colombia?
I was born here, but my parents are born in Colombia.
Ah, very good. And do you feel strongly about your Colombian roots? So do you root for like Juan Pablo Montoya and those kind of guys? Or?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it is about Latinos, but they're so strong about their heritage. Every 4 years when the World Cup comes around or in the Olympics, I'm always rooting for Colombia so strongly. Like, it's actually really funny, like, watching the whole family kind of gather around the TV for those kind of sporting events. And also, surprisingly enough, like the Miss Universe stuff, when Colombia won a few years back and they almost won that year after, it was just kind of crazy, where my whole family was just like going nuts when we won and almost won.
So I'm gonna tell you my background with Colombians and their passion. I was actually at the World Cup soccer game at the Rose Bowl, which was very famous because the U.S. beat Colombia, and the defender had an own goal and ended up going home. And they're so passionate, he got killed because of it. But I don't necessarily want to focus on that. But the people that were there, we were like one of the few Americans that were dressed up. I had an American flag as a cape. I had my face painted. And the Colombians treated us like royalty because they all wanted pictures with us because it was something that they didn't do, you know, 35 years ago. So, but the Colombian fans were awesome, so passionate, love their country, love their people. So you come from great stock. So that's good to see. Let's talk about your racing. You said you started when you were five or five and a half, something like that. Where'd you start?
I started in, there's a go-kart track where I live called Blue Max. And from there, when I was five and a half, I think I was in like second grade at the time. It was like Wednesdays right after school. I'd drive about an hour to the go-kart track. And there was this kind of program called Race Cars Inc. that, I kind of, it was like a school almost. And every day they would like show us kind of like mechanics of the go-kart, of cars in general, and we'd go around, just have fun walking the track and driving on it. And that's pretty much what I did for every week for about an entire year. So that's how I got started.
And you're a twin, so was your brother into this as well, or did you guys go different paths in sports or in life?
My dad tells me this all the time about how much of a pain it was, but yes, I have a twin and a younger brother who's also a twin, and them two were both at racing at the same time as me at one point. So there was three carts that my dad had to handle at the same time for about a few months, and that was pretty hectic. I remember that.
Yeah, and was it really cutthroat between you and your brothers?
Oh yeah, we were really competitive. It was, I will never forget that. There was times where we'd bump each other off the track, but it was always in good fun.
Yeah, my children, who are about 10 years older than you, but they're a year apart, and they went quarter midget racing when they were very young. And I learned after the second race weekend that I'll never let them race against each other, because the two times that they did, they crashed each other out, and I ended up having to fix both carts. So I quickly changed classes so they didn't have to compete, because they would not let the other one by, or they would fight so hard they'd crash. So I can only imagine the Mejia brothers going at it at the track, so that with three of you, it had to be a mess.
Yeah, that's funny you mentioned, because there's also, when I got a little bit older, about when I started getting into the cadet carts, like I was like maybe 12, or not 12, I was maybe like 8, 9, 10, there was someone that I started racing with, my teammate, and his name's Oliver Calvo, and I've known him for the longest time. We've probably known each other for like 9 years now, but we were under the same team. We were teammates, but we'd always get so much crap from the team managers and the mechanics that we would always crash each other. We could not race against each other. We were the bestest of friends, but every time we got next to each other on the track, it was like we look at each other and then we kind of just turn into each other and boom, we're off. And I never stopped getting crap for that.
Well, you probably deserved it. So I would suggest not doing that with your teammates this year with the mini JCW group. So hopefully you've learned from that. But yeah, it's crazy when you get so close to someone that it just kind of naturally happens that way. So you moved your way up through the karting ranks, and you did really well at the SCUS event in Vegas, right? Isn't that kind of where you put your name on the map?
Yeah, that was the first time that I kind of put my name on the map. It was 2015 at the Vegas. I was still in cadets, and I ended up finishing second at the race out of 88. So I was really proud of myself.
Yeah, that's like quite the accomplishment. So right from then, you decided that you were going to go start racing cars. Is that kind of how it went? Or were you doing both for a while?
It was mostly that I was going to do cars from the start. It was just karting was the first step in the ladder. And I couldn't actually get into a car until I think I was 13. And so it was the year after that I finally got into a car. And it was a Mini Cooper, actually. It was my dad's street car that he put suspension on it and everything for the track. And we just took it out to, like, a track day. And that's the first time I ever got in a car.
Right. And from there, you went into kind of the NASA program of running their HPD events and moving up through that. Is that how you did it, or did you just go to a professional school to get your license?
Well, I did both. I did the HPD with NASA, and I also did a few schools. I did one, a radical school at Spring Mountain, and also did one with Allenberg at Laguna Seca.
Right. And I also know that you did Spec Miata for a while. You did well up there in Northern California, mostly. That's where you ran, correct?
Yep.
So Sonoma, Laguna Seca, and Thunder Hill were the three main tracks?
Yeah, I know those. Like, you could blindfold me and I'd go around the track, and I wouldn't miss a turn. I've been there so many times, yeah.
That's great. And so, you know, I'm very familiar with the Teen Mazda Challenge program, and you were the champion of that in 1 year. What year was that?
I want to say that was 2017. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was 2017, though.
So I don't know if you know the history of all the people that have come out of the Teen Mazda Challenge that have gone on to bigger things. Do you know that?
I don't actually know much of the history at all.
So have you ever heard of a guy named Elliot Skier?
Yes.
So he was the very first one to win the Teen Mazda Challenge. Actually, I take that back. They had it on the East Coast first. So a guy who runs NASCAR now won it to begin with. But on the West Coast, it was Elliot Skier. Do you know who Charlie Hayes is, by the way?
Yeah, I do know who that is.
So Charlie Hayes, he runs the Bentley program. He's a team manager for the Bentley K-Pax program. He finished, I think, third in the Teen Mazda Challenge that year. My son, who's won 5 World Challenge races, he was involved in that year. He ended up winning a couple years later. A guy who won a bunch of TCR races in a Hyundai last year. He's got flaming red hair. He likes to let the ginger flow. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, talked to him before, and he was around here. I forgot his name.
Mason Filippi. Right? He's also from the Teen Mazda Challenge in out west. So quite the stout group that have come out of there. So like I said before, you got good Colombian stock in you, but you also have some good Teen Mazda Challenge stock in you. So it's if you can wheel a car and Spec Miata fields in Northern California and throughout California, you can pretty much do it anywhere. And I think the people that I just mentioned have proven that time and time again. So going into this year, you know, it's interesting. So TCA was won by someone who was younger than you last year, 15-year-old Tyler Max. I think he turned 15 at Las Vegas, and he came out of karting as well. And one of the interesting things for me to watch as the PA and the Sirius XM radio voice of the series is you could see him from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. He didn't have much racing experience other than karting, but you could see his racecraft totally change. So you're in an interesting position because you're with some veterans like the Pombo brothers. How much have you been able to learn from them?
in the six races that you've run?
They've pretty much taught me, I would say half or more than half of racing, like all the skills on and off the track. They've given me a lot of advice about how to carry my career onto the next steps. But they've also given, they've been super great to race with because they're such great teammates. All the time after the sessions, the practice sessions, the qualifying of the race, we'd always do data and videos and we'd look at each other. They'd give me advice and it was, you couldn't ask for a better teammate, really. Teammates.
Yeah, and, you know, the TCA class is filled with young guys like yourself and then veterans who have been around and have won championships. So it's a real unique place to learn your craft, and I think it's a really good place to do it. So I'm excited to watch you go through the season. What's your goals for this season?
The goal for my season is for a big – my total goal would be to win the championship, obviously, but for like a small goal to get there, I really want to win the St. Petersburg race because that's the IndyCar weekend, and it's also, I've always been super fond of like street tracks because back when I did karting, there was a event at the Scusa that they did at, in Lancaster, and they'd close down the streets and we'd do a street race, and it was the most fun thing ever because I don't know what it is exactly about it, but going past the buildings and kind of just weaving inside the roads was a lot more fun than on an actual track. I don't know if it was because it was higher speed or something, but it just felt different and it felt more right, if that makes sense. So I would really want to win the St. Petersburg race.
Interesting. I haven't heard it quite described that way. I have run a few street courses myself. I did it in New Orleans and Dallas and a couple other places. And what I noticed is just I had the crowns of the road catch me out a couple times. So you got to be really careful about the bumps and the different layouts of street courses rather than road courses. But there, it is really fun. And because you have walls all around you, it feels really fast, like you're saying. I don't think the top speeds at St. Petersburg are going to be as quick as some of the other tracks you run, but it'll certainly feel that way. You know, St. Petersburg is really interesting because it's a mix. It's a mix of street circuit and on an airport. So you have some wide open spaces and long straightaways, and then you get into this really tight section that runs through the marina down there. So I don't know if you've ever been there for the race, but it's really interesting and really fun to to be at that event.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet, but when I do go, I'm sure I'll enjoy it. I've seen tons of pictures, and it looks super beautiful. But it's, yeah, more onto the street course kind of thing. It's, I just thought about it. It's like more like rally racing to me. Like, I really love watching rally racing, and kind of all those bumps and imperfections in the road kind of get the car out of control, and it puts it kind of on the limit. And you have to drive it at the limit and not be scared of the wall, and I think that's what the most fun thing, because I've always been kind of like an adrenaline junkie kind of kid, so just getting super close and getting the car right to its limit.
So what other adrenaline junkie stuff do you do besides race cars, Tomas?
With my friends, I'll always get like...
And your parents know this?
My parents do know this. My friends will get fireworks and we'll light them off in the middle of the street. The most fun one that I've done is with a Roman candle. We go to a certain store in San Francisco to get them. And we were looking for the small Roman candles, which are supposed to be kind of just sparklers. And we set it off one time. And we thought it was going to be super quiet, super dull, like nothing to worry about. And it completely blows my hand back and it launches straight in the sky and it makes the loudest boom. And I had tons of people calling me saying, was that you? Was that you? We could hear that from the other city. And I remember that night. It was super crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a little crazy there. And in San Francisco, you can find some great, great fireworks. So don't ask me why I know that. I just do. your team won the championship last year. They didn't win the driver's championship, but they won the team championship. It looks like it's going to be you and I think it's Mark Pombo this year. Is there anybody else on the team that you know of that's coming out?
Not that I know of. All I know is that me and Mark are going to be the ones on the team for this year. Maybe a few races, maybe Matt would come out or someone else, but I'm not sure yet.
Sure. And have you driven at COTA before? What tracks have you not driven on before that you're going to be running this year?
Besides Sonoma and Watkins Glen, and are we doing Road America this year again?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, besides those three tracks that I did last year and Sonoma, I haven't been on any of the tracks, so it'll be a fresh start for me.
Yeah, so you're going to have to learn quick. COTA's an interesting place, and but I know that you've driven a bunch of different cars already in your young age. You'll be able to adapt quickly, and with a teacher like Mark Pombo, I think that you'll get up to speed really quickly. Is there any other track that you're looking forward to besides St. Pete?
Let's see. Sonoma. Especially
yeah.
Because it's my track, and I know the track like the back of my hand, so it'll be a breeze to kind of get the car down and get the cars feel right. So I'm really excited for that one, especially because I can get family and friends out to watch as well.
What do you think about running at Indianapolis Motor Speedway to finish out the year?
That's going to be a great one, to be honest. It's such a famous track and such a nice place that I'm so excited for that one because of what I just mentioned.
And what are your long-term goals? You know, where do you see yourself racing 2 to 3 years from now? Where do you hope to be?
A few years from now, I just want to be driving a car, not necessarily to make a living, but I want to be able to drive without any expenses and be able to kind of just make it kind of my side hobby without having to kind of worry about funding it or anything. So I can kind of keep it for the rest of my life, you know, because it's kind of that thing that's been ingrained in me. And it's one of those things that once you start doing, you'll never be able to stop. So, you know, being able to get some sponsors and just get my name out there would be a great thing to do.
And I know that you're a very good student, and from what I hear, you get straight A's, which I find hard to believe, but it's very impressive. Not that you're not smart. I just can't imagine any kid getting straight A's. I never did. So I know that's few and far between. So if you're able to do that, that's very commendable. And now you're playing lacrosse as well. I guess you've always played lacrosse and racing. You're a kid that's got a really full schedule. How do you control that schedule? How do you keep going? You know, just setting up this podcast was a chore. You know, we had to find a slot that actually worked for you. So how do you keep that schedule going?
This is one of my most asked questions when I get asked about like racing stuff. Like, how do I manage being able to balance school and sports and all that stuff? And for me, it's not too hard, but it's definitely can pose a big task sometimes. With like school, I've had to go talk to the office a few times because they noticed that I'm absent a lot for racing. But a lot of times I'll go into the office and they'll greet me. They know my name now because I'm out so much, and we'll just like sort something out, get my work done. I'll take work to the track and then bring it back when I'm back home. And then for sports, it's kind of, well, I prioritize racing more than sports. So it's a lot of times I just have to kind of throw sports behind me, like lacrosse. And I remember last year for my lacrosse team, I got a lot of crap from my teammates for missing a few of the games. And that was not the best, especially for my coaches who made me run a few laps.
Yeah, and I get it because, you know, again, I had kids who were kind of doing the same thing. It's tough, though, and it's tough, you know, you're going to be playing varsity lacrosse. Luckily, the schedule, other than those first two races, is kind of backloaded. So I imagine lacrosse goes from probably now until June. So I think there's only a couple weekends in there that's really going to suffer for you. So hopefully there won't be too much of a conflict. But, you know, I'm amazed at overachieving kids like you who get straight A's, that play varsity sports, that race cars, that understand what it takes to race cars. The whole, you already talked about, you know, your dream is to find a way to, you know, find partners that you can partner up with and continue to race by giving them value. So, you know, you're 16 years old and you get those things. It's pretty remarkable, Tomas. I'm really looking forward to, we haven't actually physically met, although I've watched you from afar. I look forward to meeting you. I'll come by and say hello at COTA, which is only a little less than 3 weeks away. So I look forward to seeing that. If someone wants to follow your lacrosse team, what high school is it that you play on?
It's Monta Vista High School. It's in Danville, California, and we are the Mustangs.
The Mustangs.
They have an Instagram page. Definitely follow them.
Okay.
If you can. I know my coach would be happy if that Instagram page got loaded with follows.
So you need to put a Mustang decal on that mini and make sure that everyone in the paddock follows it and blows that thing up for you. So I think that's a good plan. I know on the loudspeaker, the PA and Sirius XM, I'll throw some shout outs there so they can follow that Mustang team out of Danville too. So that's great. Tomas, I really appreciate your time. Had a lot of fun talking with you. Look forward to meeting you and have a great finish to your lacrosse season. Look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Thank you. It was great being here.
Thanks for listening to the Touring Car America podcast, where touring car racing comes to life. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the show. And for more series information, go to the series website at tcamerica.us.